Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to worship. I am Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the place where we want to know God, love God, and serve God. I want to share with you the names of our worship leaders today, Suzanne Everett and Tom Doan. So they will be helping us lead worship today. And I do have a few announcements. First, family camping will be August 17th through 20th at Lake Michigan Camp, right on the beautiful shores of Lake Michigan in Pentwater. You really ought to, if you're a camper at all, you should go. And even if you're not, do they have cabins? They have cabins. All right. Maybe we'll go. Second thing is the summer musical theater camp that's August 7th through 13th. We really want your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, they all need to know about this great event. And so tell them about it. Share the good word and register online for that. And the third one is our LGBTQ plus advocacy group is continuing to grow. And you are welcome to come and help with this important work. The next meeting is Wednesday evening, July 26th. You can just come. But you can get more information and sign up for these and other great opportunities by going to our website events page. And finally, I want to invite you to complete those connection cards that are inside your bulletin, or if you're with us online, you know, you can go online and complete them. That helps us to know what you're interested in being part of, and it helps us to let us know that you're here. And especially if you're new with us, it's such a big help if you complete one of those, and we are really appreciative if you do. Also, the prayer request cards are there in the pews or online. If there's something that you're carrying in your heart today, please fill out a prayer request card. We have people who pray over these cards, including our staff and including our prayer circle. Now, I'd like to welcome any children that are here to depart for Sunday school as we stand for our opening hymn, Let My People Seek Their Freedom.
Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord of all, the heavens and earth, we pray for peace amongst our people. Give us the tools we need to break away from systems that propagate injustice, prejudice, and hate. Help us to see others as you see them, each one a precious child of God. Show us how to lift up our brothers and sisters who are living with a fear of discrimination. Let us walk beside them, loving and serving in your name. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture reading this morning is from Deuteronomy 10:17-35. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. Him you shall serve. To him you shall hold fast. and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise, he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things that your own eyes have seen. Your ancestors went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in heaven. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who delivered us out of slavery in Egypt. Amen. As I walked into the community room this morning, I ran into one of our church members, Thelma. She looked at me and she said, "Are you okay? Like, do you need a nap this morning? Are you all right?" And I was like, I'm hesitating to admit this in front of George, who's ridden like thousands of miles over the course of a summer. But yesterday I rode my bike around Kensington Metro Park, just like loop after loop after loop, and completed 50 miles. So if I just collapse like in front of you, I want to let you know the church got some new AED systems in the back. If somebody could grab that for me, you know, just like we'll take care of it. Everything will be fine. But I do feel all right. I've been in the midst of training for a fundraiser to try to raise money for our church-wide mission project, Readers to Leaders, throughout the course of this year. And I'm trying to ride in one day from Montague, Michigan on the west side all the way to Bay City, which is 150 miles. So on August 12th, if you can remember me in your prayers, that's when I'll really need the AED. So if somebody wants to drive behind and just clear, you know, okay, I can keep riding now. Okay. So here we go. It'll be a wonderful adventure. But as we gather here, we're talking about being under construction. We're talking about not yet being in the place that God wants us to be. We're in process. We're being transformed and renewed and remade each and every day into the image and likeness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I have not yet become the person, I know this, that God wants me to be individually. And every day I feel like I'm learning new things and being challenged and being pushed to be a little bit more, maybe incrementally, like one thing a day, just trying to get better, trying to make myself better, to become a better person, to be more loving, to be more kind, to be more just. And this morning, we're going to be talking about what it means to do this work. And this is something that our church has been sort of striving towards in the midst of all the stuff that's going on in the political landscape of our world. We're pushing ourselves as a church to have more open minds and open hearts with regards to racial inclusivity. How do we create a church without walls where, regardless of somebody's race or ethnicity, they're welcome not only in our church, but also in our community? And to begin a message about this, I wanted to tell you about something that I find absolutely fascinating, and that is there's only a limited number of people, and I doubt anybody inside the room has ever had this experience because it costs millions and millions of dollars to experience this, but billionaires these days are able to buy essentially rocket ship tickets to go up into outer space. Just by a show of hands, has anybody done this before? If you have, we're working on a renovation project in the library, and we'd love to see your contributions. No. But honestly, they talk about this incredible experience. You can imagine, like, the nerves, right, of walking across that walkway, getting onto a rocket ship, getting strapped in with a seatbelt that I can only imagine, like, how tight it is. And then you start to hear a countdown, perhaps, inside your mind, and you hear, like, the rocket engines firing up, and suddenly you're getting blasted off into outer space or into near-Earth orbit or whatever you're experiencing, right? You're going up into the skies, and then all of a sudden the rocket ship starts turning, and it goes into stage two, and you can just imagine the shaking, right? Like, all the craziness that must be going on in somebody's heart, speaking of AEDs, right? Like, and so you go into outer space, it turns over, and then astronauts describe this moment, a transcendent experience.
And some astronauts have been fortunate enough to go to the moon and literally be standing on the moon to see what's called an Earthrise, when suddenly they're able to look out into outer space and see their home planet, the planet of origin, rising above the horizon of the moon. Can you imagine what that experience would be like to see what's called an Earthrise? And suddenly you look out into outer space, and instead of seeing the moon, you know, in all of its phases, you see the planet Earth. From standing on the surface of the moon, you experience the beauty and the joy of seeing your home planet rising over the horizon for just a moment. And they talk about an experience called the overview effect. This moment where these astronauts look at this planet and they see it across the vast backdrop of outer space, this blue pearl floating in the great heavens and the cosmos, and they have this epiphany. They're like, you know, it's really strange. Like, there are no geographical lines that are drawn all throughout the world. There are no international borders that are written, you know, like by God onto the surface of the planet from these international views. And even if you're in a rocket ship or up on the International Space Station, you look down on the planet and you see it across the vast backdrop of all of the stars, and they have this moment where you're like, oh my goodness, we're all in this together. We're floating on this blue pearl through outer space, and suddenly they have this transcendent human experience where they're like, man, the universe is really huge. It's ginormous. It's so enormous. I can't even imagine it. And this Earth is just this tiny little blue planet. And they come back to the planet and they talk about how maybe some of the big issues, the things that they were wrestling with before going up into outer space, suddenly sort of like melt away because they've had this experience where I sort of believe that God is everywhere, but there are some folks that believe that God is like up somewhere in the heavens looking down on the earth and seeing this sort of God's eye perspective on the planet with no borders, no delineations between this country and the next, which honestly, the whole notion of nation states didn't come around until 1648. Can you believe that? Most of it's kind of been a modern, recent invention, human construction to start drawing lines in the sand about where one country ends and the next country begins, or where one state ends and the next state begins. And they talk about this transcendent experience. And I got to thinking about that moment, and I wondered if, you know, in God's perspective, looking down on the earth, when we get into so many fights and squabbles about resources and where one country ends and the next one begins and how many people have lost blood and lives over fighting over exactly which square inch of the property is theirs and which one is their neighbor's, and how many of you have sort of like mowed, you know, your grass up to your neighbor's property and thought like, I don't think this is my land, so I'm not going to mow it anymore, right? And then your neighbor gets upset and there's this like tall grass between you because neither of you wants to mow it. And I got to thinking about all of the conflict and the squabbles that we've had over land and difference and all of that. And I started thinking about our spiritual ancestors and those who were enslaved in Egypt, those who had the experience of being in bondage for generation after generation, praying that God would finally send somebody to deliver them out of the captivity that they experienced in Egypt. I think about American slavery and the experience that people had. And there's a story that I was listening to. If you've ever heard Bishop T.D. Jakes, he's written just many, many Christian books. He was telling a story about his grandmother, his great-grandmother, excuse me, and how at one point when he was very young, she rolled up one of her sleeves and she showed him that she had been branded by her slave owner. And I think about the fact that this guy gets up and preaches every single Sunday with that experience as part of his lived experience, that his great-grandmother was a slave who was branded by a slave owner in our country. And it got me to thinking, like, a lot of the racial experiences in the United States are issues that continue to plague and be a part of the national storylines today. And I got to thinking, like, if I were God sitting up in heaven looking down over all these people and sort of like, you know, I am the creator, I am the redeemer, I'm the sustainer, I'm the one who created all the heavens and all of the earth, everything inside of it, and my people, God's children, us, still can't figure out that we're supposed to get along and love each other and accept each other regardless of our race or ethnicity or background. And, you know, I just got to thinking, like, it's sad to me that despite the fact that all of us can trace our ancestors back to somewhere, some part of history where we've experienced persecution or bullying or strife because of who we are or where we came from, and we still haven't quite figured out how to just get along. And I imagine that, at least in part, that sort of breaks God's heart. And I grieve that despite the fact that we've been working on this for decades, centuries, millennia, we still haven't quite yet arrived in a place where there's harmony, where there's acceptance, where there's love, where there's tranquility. And I was listening to a sermon by a pastor who was telling a story about Japanese internment camps. His grandfather was one of the folks that was rounded up on the West Coast because they had Japanese ancestry, despite the fact that he and his father were born in the United States. There was a time, obviously, right after Pearl Harbor was bombed, that the United States issued a decree that everybody was to be rounded up and gathered and put into these internment camps. And it wasn't that long ago, right? Just over 100 years, just around 100 years ago, less than 100 years ago. And you got to thinking about the reality of that experience, and he told this story about his grandfather, who was told in an instant that he had to, you know, take just a limited number of items with him on his way to the internment camp, but he was worried because his dog was one of the things that he was not allowed to bring to the internment camp. They issued this decree that you couldn't have any animals, and so he went knocking on door after door, just pounding on the door. "Hello, sir, would you be willing to adopt my dog? I'm not able to take my dog with me to the internment camp. No, thank you." And he knocked again. "Will you please accept my dog? I can't take him with me to the internment camp. No, thank you." And finally, he knocks on this door at the end of the street, and he says, "Excuse me, sir, will you please accept my dog?" And the homeowner answered the door and says, "I would never take in a Jap dog." And this man turned to him and he said, "Well, he's a German shepherd." But you know, his grandson would eventually become a pastor in the Presbyterian Church. He preaches every Sunday at the church called the Village Church. It's a Presbyterian church. And he said that, you know, when his grandfather was dying, he went and met with him, and he was standing right next to him as his grandfather was passing away, and he started asking questions about heaven and started reflecting on all the experiences of his life, and he started telling his grandson, "You know, when you do my funeral, do A, B, C, and D," and just rehearsing all of these things. And then he came to this moment, and he said, "Do you think that my dog will be in heaven when I get there? Because I left him when we went to the internment camp because nobody would adopt him." And he remembers looking out the station wagon of the vehicle as it drove down the street in his neighborhood, looking at this dog tied up to the post in the front of their yard, barking, hoping that, you know, the dog's owner, his grandfather, would come back. And throughout his entire life, he never forgave himself for what he did to the dog. And I think about the scars, that decisions that we've made as a nation over the course of our history have left, not just on one person, but the emotional burdens and baggage that this individual carried with them for the rest of their life. And I have to say, like, a lot of well-intentioned white folks, when we get into conversations about racism that make us uncomfortable, right? And I think if we're honest, it makes a lot of people uncomfortable to talk about race. A lot of times when we're being raised, our parents say to us, like, there's a couple of things that it's just really not good to talk about in polite company. Let's not talk about our race or our ethnicity or how much money we make or our politics or our faith. And then we're all shocked. We're like, actually, it's really hard to talk about those things. Well, part of it is because We just haven't had enough practice. We have to flex our muscles. We have to do some internal work to get to a point where we can talk about it. But one of the things that we do oftentimes as white people is we walk up to folks in the community of color and we say, you know, I just don't really see you as an African American. I don't see you as a person of Asian descent. I don't see you as a person from Latin America. I just see you as a person. And while that sounds good to a lot of folks, I have to tell you that there are moments that that negates an entire lifetime of human experience, of challenging moments talking about police brutality, for one instance, of talking about how to handle a situation when you get pulled over, of talking about how to navigate some of life's difficult situations when children are playing on the playground and they point out differences between folks with different races and ethnicities. And so I was listening to another sermon by another pastor, and he told a story about trying to encourage somebody to see beyond what's called color blindness. And what they said was, you know, when you say that you're colorblind, that you don't see me from my ancestral heritage, you don't see my experience, what you're basically telling me is like, stop telling me about your nation of origin, stop telling me about your culture. And the person's like, no, you're just a human. We're all part of the human race. Like, just imagine somebody saying, like, just think about the overview effect that astronauts experience from outer space. We're all the same. Just, you know, ignore all the differences. And then the pastor said in a beautiful story, he was like, imagine me telling you this. You go home, this individual happened to be a man, and he said, you go home to your spouse, and your spouse says to you, you know what, I no longer see you as a man anymore. You're just a human being, right? Like, you're not a man, you're just a person. It doesn't matter whether you're a male or female, I just see you as a person. Like, how much of your life and your experience would that negate if you just turned all of that off? And to conclude my message this morning about race, I just want to tell you a story from Mark's gospel that's meant a lot to me as I've tried to have my eyes open to the realities of life around me. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus comes across this guy who's blind. And the guy comes up to him. He says, Jesus, will you heal me? Please help me. I want to be able to see. I want to be able to look out into the world and see what's out there. And Jesus, in one of the most beautiful medical concoctions of all time, I'm looking at the doctors in the room and thinking, like, this probably wouldn't pass medical inspection. He takes his spit, spits on the ground, gathers up a little mud, and rubs it on the guy's eyes. Do you think that that would pass the American Medical Association approach to quality of care? And Jesus is like, can you see now? You know? And the weird thing is, like, the miracle, the healing, doesn't work the first time, which all of the other miracles that Jesus does, he's like, boom, you know, like, you're healed, your faith has made you well, get up, don't tell anybody about this. But in this particular case, he's like, Jesus, can you see now? Or, you know, Jesus says, man, can you see now? And he says, actually, no, I can't. Like, the trees out there, they look like they're walking. I can't tell what's going on. And so Jesus puts his hands on the eyes again, and he says, your faith has made you well. And suddenly the man's eyes are open. And there are some religious scholars, when they're talking about this particular text, they're like, maybe Jesus was just having an off day, you know, like, he was trying to heal this guy, whatever, it didn't quite work. Maybe Jesus, you know, was tired, or he was experiencing an off day. I choose to believe that partial vision, that seeing things not quite as they are, was not enough in order for this particular man to be healed. Jesus really wanted this person to see. Jesus wanted this person's eyes to be opened to the world all around him. So he does it again. He touches the man's eyes, and then his eyes are opened up. And all I want to say to you in the midst of this message is it at all possible that as we move through life and people talk about their experiences with race in America, when they share their stories, when they share their testimonies, that every once in a while we're not seeing the full story? Maybe there's a part that we're missing. maybe one of the best things that we can do is just listen to people when they share, like, oh, I've been living my life and I still feel like we haven't reached a place of equality. We haven't reached a place where everyone is on equal footing. Instead of being like, no, that's not true. These are the things that the nation has done to move beyond slavery, to move beyond, you know, putting people in Japanese internment camps. Maybe what we can just do is have our ears open and say, you know, I'm so sorry that you've experienced that in our country. I'll personally work to try to make things better for you in our community, in our world. Not seek to correct or amend. Maybe all of us need a little bit of Jesus' spit shine in our eyes. Open hearts, open ears, and open minds to just realize that not all of our experiences are the same. To take us back to the story in Deuteronomy, the reality is our spiritual ancestors nearly 3,200 years ago went into slavery in Egypt. You've probably seen movies about this, whether it's Ten Commandments or otherwise. You can imagine the long, hot, sweaty days in the Egyptian desert building, you know, massive places for the Egyptian pharaohs. And our spiritual ancestors, they went through all that. They endured all of that. That's part of our spiritual ancestry. And so in Deuteronomy, the author writes the following question: when you were all slaves in Egypt once, when you trace your history back far enough, why is it that you feel like it's possible to enslave and hurt other people? And I wrestle with that. And the reality is, most hurt people hurt other people. If we don't heal, then we continue the cycle of violence over and over and over again. So part of healing is listening. Part of accepting is humbling ourselves to listen and having hearts that are open to be changed. So as we go through this sermon series about being under construction, my hope is that we can listen to people's experiences, to have hearts that are open. As we go through this work, we're probably going to hear things that make us uncomfortable, and I hope in those moments when we feel like we just want to shut our eyes and, oh, that's not happening in our world today, I can't believe that we're still stuck in this space. I mean, for one thing, I believe that God's grace is sufficient to allow us to wade into this uncomfortable water, and I hope that Jesus spits on every one of our eyes a little bit and allows our eyes to be open to the reality of the world around us. Maybe for us it feels like the trees are walking around, when in reality, when Jesus heals us again and opens our eyes, they're actually stationary. And my hope as a church, we can have courage to roll up our sleeves to build a more just and equitable and safe world for everybody in our community around us. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the construction barrels all around us, for the ones that represent the road construction, but also the ones that we built inside our own hearts and inside our own minds, the ones that remind us that we're always being changed, that we're always being remade. And we pray that on the other side of this construction, that we would be remade into the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we'd be better for the work that you're doing in our hearts. So allow us to put on our hard hats and our vests, and allow us to be a work of art ourselves, a piece that is still under construction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I just want to add, thank you, John, for that message. I am part of the group of Church and Society that is working on becoming an anti-racist church. And if you want to know more about that conversation, please come up and talk to me after the service. I'd be happy to have that conversation. This morning's prayer quilt is for Matt. And if you would include Matt in your prayers this morning so that he feels the strength of God's love and healing through the comfort of this quilt. As you leave worship, stop and tie a knot, sign the card, say a prayer for Matt. And I want to add a special thank you to all of God's people who spend their Monday mornings working on these beautiful prayer quilts. Give a wave if you're part of that group. Now look around, and if you are interested in being one of those people, you know who to talk to. As we prepare to pray, I invite you to keep looking across the room. and take in this collection of God's people here today and hold each other in prayer. Feel that love and energy as it extends outside this space to all of God's beloved children. And if you're able to multitask when we get to the Lord's Prayer later, I invite you to take in that montage of voices, that cacophony of noisy prayer, and let that serve as a reminder of God's Holy Spirit and the power that we have together as God's people. Let's pray. Creator God, Lord of heaven and earth, with just a word you created the heavens and the earth, and from there all of creation. You breathed life into us and continue to breathe life and hope and love into us. We rest today to fill our oxygen tanks with your love. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be a lifeline to someone who needs to hear of your love or receive kindness from us. This week, our students will step out in service to your people. Fortify them so they are ready for all they encounter. We pray especially for Myra, Amelia, Ben, for Simon, Ava, Marley, for Kendra and Ezra and all their adult leaders. We are blessed that these generous and compassionate students are eager and ready to take on the world in service. We also know there will be challenges and new experiences. Guide them and encourage them. May they know our love for them and support for them. We pray also for the people and ministries they will be serving, including all the children and families attending VBS at the Whitmore Lake campus, the readers to leaders at Freedom Schools in Flint, and all who participate in CAS Community Social Services. Lord, as we reflect on the summer so far, we are reminded of how precious this world is and how precious each life is. Forgive us, Lord, for all the ways we have failed to care for your creation. For decades of pollution that has led to a warming earth, help us to repent and find a better direction. For centuries of injustice towards other humans, help us repent and find a more just and loving way to live. Forgive us for solving problems with violence. Help us to repent and set down our weapons, be they words, policies, guns, or fists, or jawbones. Loving God of compassion and mercy, shower your love on those who seek healing, whether a physical, mental, or spiritual need. You know our every need. Remind us, Lord, in our moments of sorrow or grief or pain, to breathe. Our breath is a reminder of you. Hear our prayers now as we breathe in a moment of silence together and share our personal prayers with you. Now with one voice, we join together to repeat the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And so now we come to our time of offering, and I invite you to consider the difference that we can make in the life of someone else through our offerings. not just our offerings of money, but our offerings of time, our offerings of thought, our offerings of opening our hearts to someone else. May God use all of your gifts to bring your love, to bring God's love into plain sight here in this community and throughout the world. Amen.
Lord, we ask a blessing on these offerings we bring today. Help us to be like Jesus, loving and serving throughout our lives. Help us to use our resources in working towards social justice and equality for all. Amen.
Well, as we conclude our time together, I dream of a world where peace and equality and justice rains down from mountains. I dream of a place where everybody feels comfortable and safe as I want to share with you this last story as you head out the door, and that's this. Every once in a while, I have a chance to go back to Cass in Detroit, where I got to serve for the couple of years before coming out here to Brighton, and one of my friends down there always asks me as I'm leaving out the door from volunteering at Cass, he says, you know, is it safe for me to come out and visit your church out there in Livingston County yet? And I want to say a couple things about that. I think it's okay to say, we're working on it. I think it's okay to say we're trying to become a more welcoming community and our past doesn't have to define our future. I think it's okay to say we're not yet where we want to be. I think it's okay to say there's lots of loving people in the United Methodist Church who would gladly welcome you with open arms. And I think it's probably truthful to say that we all know people in our lives that we can help open the eyes of. The Economic Justice Community Project of our church and society is requesting your signatures on a letter. One way that we can make our community a safer and more welcoming place to our county commissioners, asking them to take actions to implement the best practices of a master plan for transportation in our county. It's called the Livingston County Trails Plan, and these plans would support making our community more walkable, bikeable, and more reliable in terms of transit and mass transit in our community. These plans support a healthy life for everyone, as well as those who are at risk for not being able to drive, such as the elderly, children, and those who are physically and mentally disabled. If you're interested in signing such a letter, Pam Cummer will be out in the community room. She's been working on this stuff for several years now, trying to make our community more welcoming in terms of public transit. Thank you for working for justice on behalf of those who are less fortunate than some of us who are sitting here in the church. If you want something completely different and you're going to a baseball game on Friday night, please meet in the parking lot at 5 p.m. to head to the Lansing Lugnuts game. You can see Dave Moore, he's coordinating that out in the community room also. As you depart into this world, I pray that you would work to make our community more welcoming for all people so that someday we can reflect the kingdom of God that exists in heaven. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.